If you're paying attention to the ongoing story in Crimea, you know that yesterday President Obama dismissed Russia as simply a regional power that appears weak in annexing the peninsula. And this morning in a news conference with European leaders in Brussels, Obama reiterated that there would be repercussions, but only if Russia goes any further.
What we're now doing is coordinating around the potential for additional, deeper sanctions should Russia move forward and engage in further incursions into Ukraine.
But President Obama also acknowledged that any additional sanctions could also hurt the global economy. Here to decipher what all of this means for U.S.-Russia relations is former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, who joins us from Stanford University's radio studio. Ambassador McFaul, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And this would seem to be a tricky needle to thread. President Obama may be batting back criticism from Republicans that he didn't see how big a power Russia was by calling it just a regional power, but then having to note that it is a power that could go further. Your thoughts on this line he has to walk?
You're right. It is a fine line. He wants to make sure that everybody understands how serious this new aggression that Russia has committed against Ukraine is for Europe, how this is a revisionist power challenging the international norms, the international treaties that Russia itself has signed and has been obligated to, at least we thought. And at the same time, he wants to remind everybody that this is not the Cold War, in that Russia today does not have the same military power or ideological appeal that the Soviet Union had, and therefore this is not a global struggle. It's a regional one, but it's a very important region. It's Europe, after all.
Yeah. Well, what else are you hearing from the president on this European trip? What words are you parsing?
Well, I think it just happened. The coincidence of this trip and the events in Ukraine, of course, are just that, coincidence. But I think it's provided a useful opportunity for the president to meet with the other G7 leaders, that is the other democratic countries of the largest economies in the world. You see it being framed as a struggle about ideas, not just about interests, and that this is going to be probably a long confrontation that the West didn't want. Most certainly President Obama didn't want. I can tell you, I worked for him for several years. This is not something that he is engaged in or delighted to be engaged in, but I think it's a recognition of the new moment. That is a moment where engaging Russia and seeking to integrate Russia are no longer on the table, at least for the short run.
Well, the short run. Hold that thought for a second, because I want to ask, what are we hearing from the Russian side? Today, there was some news earlier that an Air France flight that had to go through Russian airspace, I think it was flying from China to Paris, had to be diverted to Germany to refuel because at the last second it wasn't allowed to go through Russian airspace. Early reports were that Russia was having last-minute military exercises, then reports that Russia was launching a satellite to the International Space Station. But still, it seemed kind of unusual that an Air France flight with almost 500 people is diverted. On the other hand, you have Russia accusing Ukraine of not letting Russian commercial airline crews leave planes that land in Ukraine. Ukraine has denied this. So it feels as if there's, you know, a lot of chest beating, chest thumping going on. What are you reading?
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of emotion. Inside Russia, of course, there's been a rallying behind President Putin. This is a moment of nationalistic pride, bringing back Crimea, in their view, that was taken from them, in their view, even though the guy that took it from them, by the way, was the leader of the Soviet Union at the time, Nikita Khrushchev. A lot of references I see on my Twitter feed with Russians about this is like German reunification. We are finally reunifying Russia. And in the short term, it must be said that there's a lot of support for what President Putin has done inside Russia.
Yeah.
There are pockets of resistance. There were 50,000 people on the streets last weekend saying, we don't want war, we won't want to divide with the West. But I think the majority stands behind him right now.
Well, and here today, President Obama said that, speaking directly to Russian leaders, that diplomacy can still work, but it's the only thing that can work. What's happening? Can you know, be the fly on the wall for us? What's going on diplomatically?
It depends on what question we're talking about, in my view. So can diplomacy somehow succeed in getting the Russians to leave Crimea? My answer is no. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening anytime soon, no matter how talented the diplomats are. And I think we have, by the way, have very talented diplomats working this account right now. I think if, however, you're talking about deterring further Russian aggression in eastern Ukraine, that's what the president's referring to. He is hoping that, cool heads will prevail, that Putin will understand that the costs of that are much higher than going into Crimea. And that's what we're trying to avoid, using diplomats as opposed to soldiers.
What about your own role in this? Here you were, the ambassador of the Obama administration, pressed a reset button, famously, with its relationship with Russia. You're considered one of the key architects of that thinking. Was that a mistake?
No, I don't think the reset was a mistake. I mean, it was an honest effort by President Obama and our administration to realize our common interest with Russia that made Americans safer and more prosperous. I think the list is pretty striking. And you have to ask yourself, you know, would we be better off without a START treaty? Would we be better off without sanctions against Iran? Would we be better off without supply routes to our troops in Afghanistan through Russia? Are we better off without Russia in the WTO? And if you answer yes to all those, then you can say the reset was a mistake. But for me personally, I have to say honestly, I mean, this is a tragic era. This is a very sad moment for me, because as ambassador, as a White House official, and in different ways throughout most of my career, I've believed in and tried to help that integration process of Russia, into the West, into the these clubs and these institutions. It's a period that began under President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, and now that period is over. So I see it as a rather tragic time.
Well, but what do you see next?
I see a long period of confrontation, zero-sum thinking, cooperation when we have important, vital national security interests. So, for instance, I'm still optimistic we'll be able to cooperate on Iran. I still think we will follow through with the project we have together with the Russians of eliminating Syria's chemical weapons programs. And I hope that the continuity of cooperation, be it Iran sanctions or WTO, Russia in the WTO, will continue. But I'm not optimistic about any ability to achieve new win-win outcomes with respect to cooperation with Russia.
WTO, World Trade Organization. Michael McFaul, former U.S. ambassador to Russia. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.